This is Murky Chronicles 42. I am Theifalaw, the Butcher Dabashi.
And I am Gorgeous Kenny Roberts.
You know, next week we'll announce our next guest, and I cannot wait. And at the end of the show, we have six true scary roommate stories courtesy of Southern Cannibal YouTube channel. And we also have a movie review you can catch on Netflix titled 1BR. So if you do not want any spoilers when you get to the movie review part, just put the show on pause and watch 1BR and turn right back into the show. 1BR stands for one bedroom. Sorry to cut you off, brother. How you doing this week?
Not too bad. How you doing, man? Yeah, you were on a roll. You weren't stopping, were you?
No, it was funny because a little early, and you know, I was sound asleep, and I set my alarm. I didn't go to bed till late last night. It was just one of those days I couldn't sleep, just listening to the rain. And then I woke up before my alarm, and then I happened to see your text, and then went and made me some coffee, and then yeah. So what's up, brother? How's your shoulder?
It's doing okay, man. I guess we'll see. Going to see the doctor on Monday, so hopefully get a plan on that. But how you doing, man? You recovering? And
yep. I go into surgery on the 13th of June, and I should recover pretty soon after that. So,
nice.
Yeah. So you know how it is. We're on Zoom for all you people listening on audio, and I'm trying to get my face, my scary face, Sasquatch looking face in this cube here. So, oh, there we go. Now you can see me, Kenny. Gorgeous Kenny Wan. But guess what I found out?
What's that, brother?
Oh, man. Okay. I just happened to look online, and this is kind of breaking news, I guess. And I was thinking about this girl a lot lately, this woman. And do you know who Shakira Isabu Mubarak Ripple is? You know who that is?
No.
Give you a hint. Hips don't lie. Shakira?
Oh, okay. I know, yeah, the first name. I don't know the rest of it.
Well, I was doing research.
Did she play on like the, wasn't she on like the halftime show for the NFL Super Bowl like three or four years ago?
I think so.
With like J-Lo or something, or with I don't even know. If that's her, then yeah, I know who it is. Otherwise, I don't.
Oh, man, I love that video. I guess, you know, the Hips Don't Lie singer. I just watched a video before we got on the air, and she is facing a trial over alleged tax fraud charges in Spain after she lost an appeal on May 26. Prosecutors claim she failed to pay up to 14.5 million euros. That's what, about $15.54 million in tax on income earned between 2012 and 14. Her legal team said in a statement that she'll keep defending her case with solid legal arguments. And Shakira's conduct on tax matters has always been impeccable in all the countries she had paid taxes, and she has trusted and followed faithfully in recommendations of the best specialties and advisors, the statement said. And I didn't get to the other part though. I guess her and her husband, he's a soccer star. He plays for FC Barcelona. I guess they're separating. So that's why I brought this up, because lately I've been seeing a lot of her, and I really dig her. And Shakira, if you're out there, I know your hips don't lie, baby. You know, hit me up. That's it. That's all I have to say.
You have a chance, huh? Yeah.
Hey, why not? Why not? Hey, yeah, man.
You know. That's funny. I don't understand these people, man. They make all this money, dude, and they got all these people that work for them. How do they get behind on their taxes, man?
Well,
this is crazy, dude.
Yeah, but in this
like different countries and different, taxes and stuff. But man, come on.
But her defense, though, and not only her, I know a lot of stars, and you know, even Ric Flair's one of them. A lot of times it's their people that are doing their taxes. I don't know anything about her case, but it seems to me it says, you know, she's been straight on all this time. It almost sounds like, I'm not speculating, but it could always be the bookkeepers, their accountants, because there's a lot of shady accountants
that's
out there.
True.
And then when you're famous, when you're famous, that's probably the last thing you're worried about, and you trust your accountant. So, you know, I'll help. I'm not a great accountant, but I'll help you be your accountant. I'll account for every little hips that, you know. Anyways, that's another story. That's all I got to say this morning. I'm kind of pumped. I might even go to the gym today.
Oh yeah. Can you still hear me?
Oh, I could still hear you. You blacked out.
No, I shut it off, man. I think I got poor connection again.
Oh, so okay. I could hear you.
Real choppy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're good on my end, and I know the listeners are. It's good on the listeners' end, so you know.
Okay. Good. Good.
Yep. Yeah. So what else has been?
Yeah, I mean, not too much, man. I was just gonna say, you know, on the Shakira thing, man. You know, when you get that rich, man, it's hard to trust people. But you can't take your eyes off the prize either, man. You earn that money, you better keep an eye on your money. You know, you can't just pay people to watch it for you. You know, you gotta be smart.
That's another thing too. You know, it's funny because I had that situation where someone stole my taxes, and it's funny because when you own the government taxes or money, I mean, you could be out in the middle of nowhere and they'll sure find you to get their money. But as soon as they owe you money, say if someone stole it, they're like, well, we have to get the money back first before we pay you. You know, but you know,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Let's see. So we're doing a movie review this week.
Yeah. Before we get to the movie reviews, you want to hear a couple of my jokes or do you want to do the review?
Let's get those done right away.
Okay.
Let's knock those out of the park.
All right. Here we go. Okay, so I hope, you know, you don't lose it when you hear them, okay?
Oh, man.
You know, since we have that movie 1BR, I kind of wanted to keep with the theme of, I don't know. I know you love my jokes, so I guess here we go. My top five roommate jokes. All right.
Here we go.
Number five. My former roommate was overweight, so he asked me for a diet idea. I told him to stop eating after 8 p.m. He had dinner at 7 p.m. that day and died of starvation a few days later.
Oh, man.
Oh, I thought, okay, this one's a little better. Okay. Do you know what a pansexual is, right?
Tell me what it is.
Pansexual. I think I could be wrong. Oh, I might get the pansexuals mad at me.
Starting to quiz me. I have no idea.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'll look it up. Pansexual. Ain't the pansexual when you don't have a sexual orientation? Is that what that is?
No idea.
Hold on, let me look. No idea, dude. Pansexual. Hold on.
Why are we even going there, dude?
Well, because it's part of my joke.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm curious what pansexual is.
You're telling jokes you don't even know what the meaning of what you're saying is?
Well, I know the word, and I know the word, but okay, pansexual. Let's see. It's thinking. All right, pansexual. All right. Okay, pansexual. Adjective related to having or open to sexual activity of many kinds. Sexually attracted or open to all people, regardless of gender, identity, or sexual orientation. Okay. I guess that. Anyways, back to the joke.
you're better off just saying trisexual, man. You're willing to try anything.
Well, no, okay.
That
well,
doesn't sound like pan.
Because, well, listen, like or thing. Well, listen to my joke, then you'll understand it.
Oh no, man. Okay, here we go.
Today, I found out my roommate was pansexual. Needless to say, I was pretty shocked when I woke up and found him in bed with all of our kitchenware.
Oh, man.
All right, number three.
It's getting worse, dude. It's getting worse.
All right, number three.
All right.
My pot-smoking college roommate decided to choose theology as a major. He's now a high priest.
Lame.
All right, this one's a little better. What makes Pokemon such a terrible roommate?
I don't know. What makes Pokemon a terrible roommate?
Are Pokemon such terrible roommates? Okay. Because some of them Pikachu.
Oh, man. That was bad. But at least you're getting on the right track of...
Okay, this one has nothing to do with Gay Pride Month, since it's Gay Pride Month, but this is my number one joke. Roommate joke. Drum roll, please. My roommate told me my clothes look gay. I told him, have some respect. They just came out of the closet.
That was the best one of the day, for sure.
All right. Okay, now that I got that out of my system.
All right, that was a good one. That one was good.
Okay. All right. Back.
One out of five ain't bad.
All right. Well, what'd you think about the movie pick on Netflix, 1BR?
One BR, one bedroom, man, I tell you. Okay, so it started off a little slow. I don't know how long it's been out. I didn't pay attention to the date.
It just came out on Netflix. I think it was 2019, if I believe.
Okay, so a couple, 2-3 years old. But anyways, yeah, I mean, it was a little slow and at the beginning, but I've stayed in, I watched it, I hung in there, man. It was kind of you enjoy like Outer Limits or Twilight Zone, it kind of reminded me of something that they would have been a topic on one of those shows. What's your thought?
Well, to give a little background, the movie has two wins and two nominations. Fractured Visions Film Festival 2019, winner of Nightmare Film Festival Award, Best Actress featured Nicole Byron Bloom. Nominee Nightmare Film Festival Award, Best Thriller Feature, and Best Writing in a Feature, David Mamor. And, you know, I really dug the actress, Sarah, I think, or that Nicole Byron Bloom. She portrayed, she was like a shy only child that moved to L.A. and, you know, she showed up nothing but her clothes on her back, and she's chasing a dream in the movie business, but she also is running from all these wackos at this place where this little, was it, what do you call it, an apartment?
Yeah, it's kind of a community, apartment community, or, yeah.
Yeah, and...
kind of remind me of...
Melrose?
Melrose Place.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, her dad... Now, I thought, you know, she was really ticked off at her dad. You know, I thought maybe at one point I thought, heaven forbid, you know, she was molested or something. But I guess apparently, what was it? Her mom was dying and she was terminally
cheating on. Yeah, cheating on him
with the nurse.
Yeah,
yeah. So. Yeah, so, you know, it was kind of slow because I, you know, trying to figure out a topic for the show, and I remember watching it, and I was telling you, you told me to pick the movie, and I start watching, it was kind of slow, and I was like, because I was looking up reviews, you know, and then it got really intense. Remember that part when, I mean, it caught my attention because you didn't know what was going to happen. And then I was like, man, this ain't really like a horror film or nothing. And the next thing you know, remember when they had her in that room? Well, let's go back. Yep. What was the first thing that really made you go, in that movie?
That guy just kept coming out of his room every time she walked by his door.
Right, right. Okay.
That was a suspect for me. It's like, how does he know she's walking by?
Right. You see, know? I didn't even catch that. I didn't, but yeah, you're right.
I was like, what? I always thought that guy was dirty from the get-go. So, yeah, that was one for me. And then when she first got to the apartment complex, and they, of course, there was that camera up top, and they popped open the door for her. That was a little weird, too. It's
like, popped open the door.
Remember when she went to go look at the apartment, and she was out front, and the door was locked.
They
buzzed her in. She didn't talk to nobody. They just buzzed her in.
You know what? I didn't even catch that. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. I just thought it was just security thing. You're right. What really got me, her.
She didn't press no buttons, though. It was like, okay, they're watching. Okay, that's weird. That's a little weird.
But what really tripped me out, you remember that guy with the one eye? I thought maybe he was the bad guy. But remember, he kept on, like, appearing, and the next thing you know, remember her cat? That's what really made my jaw drop when she woke up and her cat was in the oven.
Oh man, it was on broil too, man. That wasn't good. It was glowing.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, that really caught it. And then
the note under the door, you know, about the cat, you know, that was another, you know, so that was pretty cool, you know. For the, you know, it was like the lease contract about no pets. And they called her a selfish bitch.
Yeah. And then when she's in that room and they were torturing her and they told her to, you know, my mind was going every place. I was like, no, I thought, no, they're not going to rape her or nothing like that. But they didn't. They bent her over and then they put her hands on the wall. Remember? And they said, don't move. When the lights are on, and then she was going crazy, and then she fell, and she went down. They came in and they told her to put her hands up on the wall. Then they nailed her hands. That was
crazy. Oh man, and that was pretty. They did a good job on that, man. They showed that whole thing as they hammered it through her hand. It was like, oh, dang.
It was just like Passion of the Christ or something like that. I mean, it was
definitely. So, yeah. I mean, if you look at it, you know, I mean, there could be a lot of hidden messages in that movie, dude, you know.
But if you think
No, go ahead.
But if you think about it, towards the end of the movie, though, it almost, they were demented and stuff, but, you know, I know they were bad, but were they really that bad?
Well, the thing is I talked to my wife about this. So this is my take on it a little bit, man. It kind of reminded me how politics can be. They try and make you think a certain way. And if you don't think that way, then you're not worthy. You know, and that's how I kind of felt about it, is how you got to live their way, their pure way, or you're going to die.
Yeah.
They're going to torture you. And if you don't finally cave into their beliefs, they're going to kill you.
Well,
that's totally how I bet you a lot of, you know,
countries
are, you know, you don't believe in what they're preaching. You're done, man.
I mean, well, speaking of brainwash, what's that old lady, the old actress, remember in the movie?
Yep.
And then she couldn't contribute anymore, and then they killed her.
Yep.
And the way they did it, what'd they do? They put that plastic bag over her head, but what'd they put in there, like in the bag, that tube? What was that?
I don't know what it was. It was some kind of gas.
So I thought it was oxygen at first, you know?
No. And I don't think nitrous oxide would have done it. I don't know. I don't know. But it was crazy.
But I think the hardest part for me would have been, you know, she got her job, they remember that girl, that her friend that she befriended, you know, in the at the beginning. Remember they got them fighting, you know. She almost got fired, and she had to, you know, just not communicate with everyone. And then her dad, remember her dad came, and that was kind of...
Well, she had to turn on him. Yeah, I thought they were going to kill him too.
Oh, that one point when she turned his back, remember? When their back was turned. But yeah, that was...
coming out of the closet, man. He was going to kill him.
Yeah. Was that a hidden message, him coming out of the closet?
I don't know.
But then...
No, that's just kind of my take a little bit, you know?
But then that guy with the one eye, though, he kind of like swerved us. Because remember, remember when he had her come in the bedroom? Because they were almost like a forced marriage. Uh-huh. Remember they were supposed to get together because their wife, you know, they put them together and then they were in the apartment and then he was like, come over here. I thought he was going to like consummate it or something, but he was actually a cool dude.
He wasn't a believer.
Yeah.
He was just there. He probably just gave up hope and, you know, knew he couldn't get out on his own.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess, you know, for people that are watching this, if you're looking for a suspense versus a bloodbath with scares and all that, I think this movie really gives you a low level of anxiety watching it, because it was like I said, it was slow at the beginning, and then I started watching another movie, and I was like, and then I remember texting, I'm going to go back and watch, and I'm glad I did. It doesn't really drag too much. The movie's about 90 minutes long, and it does go through quickly, and it really holds your interest. And with some of the disturbing parts, I mean, just when you think you can't get much harder to watch, it gets harder to watch. And it,
right.
I think the last 30 minutes to set up everything, set up the last hour, it was a real roller coaster ride. I think you should watch it. And the story is believable, well-written, real good acting, by the cast. It will suck you in and spit you out before you realize it. And it's not really, I guess, classified as a slasher, but it's really creepy. I mean, that's my take. I mean, what do you think the best part of the most cringing part of the movie was?
Oh, I would say probably, I don't know, man. Probably the nail in the hands, you know, or when she ripped her hands out of the nail.
Oh, yeah, yes.
This movie reminds me a bit of Misery. Remember that one?
Yes. Yes.
It's kind of at that level, that suspense, you know. Yeah. I give it, what would you want to call it? What are we calling it?
Oh.
Two thumbs up. I say I gave it a Murky Chronicles thumbs up.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Yeah, I'd give it, you know, I didn't put any sound effects, so I guess I'll just go, we'll give it some splats for blood. It wasn't really much blood. Well, at the end.
Hell yeah.
We'll say, this is, that's for nothing, and... Yeah, I give it some splats. Yeah, the ending, though, I mean, it was intense. I mean, I don't know. She shot the you know, the guy that, remember? Oh, yeah, let's go back when the friend that came in, and then remember, what were they going to do? Stab her in the ear with that ice pick or something?
Lobotomy.
What's actually a lobotomy when they do something to your brain?
They will do that like in the old psych ward back in the day.
It makes you like a zombie or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then She stabs that guy, shoots him. Yeah. And then she ended up shooting the other guy too. I was like, wow, I don't know. You guys got to watch it. And then at the end,
don't say the ending, man. I would say the very, very end. Let everybody watch it. What's your thoughts?
Well, at this point, okay. Well, most of the people I said pause if they want to listen to it. But if you guys kept on watching or kept on listening and didn't pause, we'll save the ending, make it a cliffhanger so you go watch it. So, yeah. Okay. How's that?
Perfect.
Okay, but without revealing the ending, were you happy with the ending?
I was hoping for more, but I was good with it.
Okay. The ending, though, I don't know. It just kind of, I didn't really get it. Because.
We'll discuss it off air.
Okay. We'd like to know what you guys think. If you guys haven't watched it, or if you came back on and did watch it, go ahead and, you know, email us or leave a message on what you thought about the movie or the ending. But.
Yes, we'll discuss that next week.
Okay, we could dissect it. Maybe dissect it. Dissect the ending.
Yep.
Speaking of endings, though, did you ever watch the Ozarks?
No.
Oh, okay. I watched the final season, and that was another one. It was almost like a Soprano ending. I was like, I mean, it was all right, but it made me want more, though, so. Well, what's another movie that had a weird ending that you didn't like or thought it was weird?
Another movie. Well, you're kind of catching me off the cuffs here, man.
I just thought of it. I know one movie for some reason that sticks in my mind. I don't know why, and I think they should do another one. Freddy versus Jason. You remember when Jason comes out of the water and then Freddy winks? Because when he carried his head out of the water in his hand?
I never watched it. I've never seen that one.
Oh, my bad. Oh, yeah. Well, watch it.
Thanks, man. You just told me the ending.
What's that?
Thanks, man. You just told me the ending.
Well, it ain't going to ruin the movie. It won't ruin the movie.
No, it's been out for, what, 40 years?
Yeah. That was it. So good, man. I heard they were talking about making another one, but rumors. But yeah, he comes out. It was actually one of the best. I liked it. But anyways. Well, yep, that's our movie review.
Yep.
1BR stands for one bedroom. But yeah, I kind of liked this. I know we talked about doing movie reviews and stuff, but I kind of dig this. How about since I picked this one, you know, think about, I don't know if we're going to do one next week or the following week or whatever. Once you pick a movie, and we'll review it.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
Well, do we want to, I've got one more. I want you to watch this one. It's called,
Oh, so you already thought about it.
Well, no, this is kind of a short series. It's on Amazon Prime, if you got it.
Uh-huh.
Called Outer Range.
Okay, it's a series?
Yeah, there's only like 5 episodes, so it's not they're probably about 45 minutes long.
Is it good? What's the series like?
It's a rancher fighting for his land and his family discovers an unfathomable where did I lose it? I lost it. Oh my goodness.
Did you write it or did you copy it?
No, I was reading it and I clicked on the rest of it and it went away.
What is it, like, so a Western?
What happens is he's fighting for, yeah, it's kind of a Western, but he's got this ranch and it's got a big hole in the ground. And there's time travel. There's a lot to it, man. There's a lot of dialogue. Check it out. There's a random ghost of a buffalo that's walking around on his property. The neighbors are feuding with each other. The neighbor gets killed. They throw him in the hole, and then they find him out on the ranch like a week later, dead on the property. But then they said he was only dead for like 4 hours, and he had been dead well over a week. So it's pretty cool, man.
Maybe we could start watching it, and we could just kind of give a. It's not like Netflix where they put the whole series out at once, right?
No. So the season one's done. I don't know if they're going to do a two or not. So check it out, Outer Range.
Okay, I'll check it out.
And I'll rewatch it. I'll rewatch it again so I'm freshened up, and then we can talk about that one as well.
Maybe we could cover each. How many episodes? Like 10?
No, I think there's like 5 or 6. It's not very many.
Oh, maybe we could like review a little bit each week. Okay.
Let's do it.
All right, man. Well, shoot. Before we play our roommate, you know, what was it called? Brain freeze. You know, the audio that the 6 True Roommate Scary Stories. How about we just give our shout outs and then do the story and call it a day.
Sounds good. I'm just doing quick little shout out. Just Mike over at Savage Reviews. What's up, Micah? Vince over at Emerald Street Kennels. And then the Dave Flood Debashi at Lyrical Spit.
Oh, thank you, brother.
That's it.
All right. Yep. Oh, speaking about the Debashi Neighborhood Corner Store, I think I'm going to make the office in there, my new studio.
And then,
you know, when you're in town or if guests in town, they could come in and we could record. I don't know. I just change it up. So I apologize to all the Lyrical Spit listeners. I haven't been putting them out like I should. I just been busy. But my next guest at the mosque, I meant the cousin of Muhammad Ali, Raymond Faulkner, cousin and manager of Muhammad Ali. He has a documentary, and he's going to be the next guest on the show. So that should be interesting. He's a pretty cool cat, you know? I want to give a shout out to, I forgot to hit my shout out. Here's one for you, Kenny. Gorgeous Kenny one.
Awesome.
Tales from the Abyss, Jay Letterman and Pahu Rojo, and you could get Lyrical Spit, their podcast, and Murky Chronicles on all major podcast platforms. Lyrical Spit and Murky Chronicles at lyricalspit.com, and you get all the links there. And don't forget our 24-hour hotline, 360-200-8779. Leave a message and you may just hear yourself on the show. And I know you're kind of laid up right now, Gorgeous Kenny Roberts, but I still have to say your tagline for Sweet and Low Upholstery, the best tagline in the business. Their stitching is bitching. Oh, real quick. I got a vent real quick before we go.
What's that?
I told you that my car got dinged up. My Camaro, yeah. My baby. Did I tell you, so last Saturday I went to met my cousin at the gym, right? And then I picked him up, went to the gym. Then I went to Fred Meyer's for something. Then I went to Walmart. So between those three places, I was coming out of Walmart and I noticed there's white paint on my front left bump or the above the wheel. And I was like, what?
So fender?
Yeah, a white car hit it.
Oh, man.
And I was like, what the heck? So I went in with messed up because, you know, I have a bum foot, right, from my injury. So I went in, talked to him. The lady was there, and she was really cool. And she was like, well, before we can't look at the cameras because I guess Walmarts have real good cameras. They said that a cop has to come and look at the video. They can't just show me. So I was like, And you know how I am about my car. So I waited for 2.5 hours. And the Lakewood police came, and I want to say thank you, a shout out to all law enforcement. That's why I want to bring it up, because thank you. He came in and he looked at it, went in, and he's like, hey, did you come in through this side of the park? And he goes, yeah, because I said I didn't know for sure where it happened. He goes, well, you had the mark there already. And I said, okay, well, thank you. And he was really cool, and he was giving me some advice. So I didn't want to go all the way back to Fred Meyer, because then I'll have to call the cops, and they have to do the same thing, and just a hassle. I said, okay. So I went to the gym. So a shout out to Allie. They have cameras there, and she told me she'll check it out and for me and find out. But I didn't know, you know, should I claim on my insurance, fix it myself? Because, you know, I have a $500 deductible. Guess how much the damage is?
How much?
Close to $2,000.
Oh, man, but fuck up the $500, man. Get it fixed right.
Yeah, but, you know, it's really not too bad. I mean, you can't really notice it. It didn't really, you know, dent it or nothing. But it chipped a little bit of paint, and it sounds worse than it was. But to that, whoever did that, man, I'm coming for you. Wolf, hopefully the camera will have it. And if not, I'm going to check the camera at the fortress here and see maybe someone, you know. But, yeah, someone did it. So.
Right. The butcher is going to get you.
I'm going to get you. But anyways, anything else?
That's it, man.
All right. Well, we'll be right back. With courtesy of the Southern Cannibal YouTube channel, you could check whatever else they have. 6 true scary roommate stories right after this quick commercial break. Hashtag save our children. Epstein and McAfee didn't kill themselves. And me and my Camaro is going to come right after you, whoever did it. And if she has an apple, she has a banana.
Banana.
So, for some context, I'm a guy, and this happened when I was 18. I was planning on moving out of state for college, and I didn't want to pay the ridiculously high price for student housing. So, me and my mom turned to Craigslist for better options. We found a lot of places near the school, and for a reasonable price. But one we found would live in infamy for me. We found a place for $500 per month in an area near the school, so we instantly took it. On the day before my school's orientation, me and my parents drove down to the school and rented a hotel room for 2 nights. On the way down, I was texting the guy about the room, to which he gave a description as well as the address to where I would be going. I'd like to note that I was the one that was filtering through the options while my mom sent links for any new openings. After texting back and forth, he asked for me to send a pic of myself right after he sent a pic of himself. I sent him one, but by examining his pic, I began to feel a bit uneasy about it, especially after he failed to respond to any of my texts after the pic was sent, even the one where I asked him what would be a good time for me to check the place out. Later that night, I talked to my dad about it, and we decided to go to the address while my mom was asleep in the hotel. It was then that my suspicions proved to be true, as we were greeted with a trashy-looking trailer home with a white pickup truck parked next to it. Thankfully, it was like 2 in the morning, so he couldn't have seen us. The very next day after orientation, me and my dad explained our findings to mom, where we decided that my enrollment at the school would be pushed back to the fall semester until I could find a proper place to stay. So, from what I could guess, the guy must have thought I was an 18-year-old female looking for a place to move and that I would be checking out the place by myself. So, when it was revealed that I was actually a fully grown man, he must have realized his plans to prey on a teenage girl weren't coming into fruition. To start off this story, this happened while I was in college. My sophomore year, I lived in the dorms and I was assigned to a random roommate. He seemed a little bit introverted but fairly normal at first, but he wouldn't really talk to me. I would try to start conversations about things he showed interest in, but he would only give me one-word answers that were obviously meant to end the conversation. I figured he probably just didn't like me, so I decided I would give him some space and leave him alone. After a few days, That's when it started. I would notice that he was always staring in my direction. I chalked it up to coincidence, but it continued happening. Classes started up, and I spent less and less time in the room, but whenever I was in there, he would be constantly looking in my direction. Whenever I would turn to face him, he would turn his head away from me, but it would creep me out since it was pretty much constant. I started noticing that he would lay on his bed to read, but he would always hold the book or papers at an angle that always gave him a direct line of sight to me. About a week or so into the semester, my girlfriend at the time and I went on a morning hike and crashed on my bed at around 2 p.m. We woke up to him just standing there staring at us about 2 hours later. He didn't say anything, just turned and left the room. It was at that point that I decided I needed to leave before he did something to me in my sleep. I got out of there pretty quickly. Fortunately, I didn't see him again for quite a while, but we ended up having a class together senior year. I had been telling my friends that story ever since it happened, and they didn't believe me. One of my friends had really poor vision, so we sat in the front row. Of course, every time I looked behind me, my old roommate was always staring directly at me. Not at the teacher, but at me. It didn't really matter if we were on the middle or on one of the sides. I challenged my friends to look back a single time during the semester and catch him not looking at me. Within 5 classes, they gave up, and they agreed that he was staring at me nonstop, and that he was indeed super creepy. My parents think he was in love with me, but I just think he was crazy. I guess I'll never really know what his deal was. So this happened at the end of summer of 2016. To give a bit of backstory, my boyfriend and I were both around 20 years old. So my boyfriend Max and I used to share an apartment with another married couple. Mind you, they were pretty awesome people. Unfortunately for us, Florida wasn't what they wanted, so they decided to move to Pennsylvania. Max and I started looking for people to replace them with because of rent, and it was pretty pricey, and we didn't want to have to pay for the whole thing all on our own. It was in a very nice area, but not close enough to the city, so most people that told us they would drop by to check the place out would flake out last minute. Eventually, we found this person that seemed to be a very nice and laid-back girl. She then explained to us how she was looking for a place for her boyfriend, Dan. Now, I tend to see people's auras when I meet them, and I always get a certain feeling when I don't like them immediately. I'm not a judgmental person in the slightest, it's just something I feel and can't help. I did not like this person straight off the bat, but I tried to give them the benefit of the doubt because everyone else seemed to be okay with them, so I thought I might be wrong, and I was hoping I was. As the time went by, said Dan started being super loud. He would invite people over on weeknights till 4 a.m. He would play music loud enough for it to sound like it was being played from our room, and multiple other annoying things, and also being beyond disrespectful, especially to me. Max wouldn't do anything about it, and I'm kinda glad because I know Dan would have wanted to fight him or something. Dan was 22 at the time, but he had the mentality of a 12-year-old. Side note, we later found out that Dan had some previous mugshots for shoplifting and other stuff. He also threatened to beat me up several times. Yeah, me, a 20-year-old girl. I just wanted to give you a bit of insight on Dan so you understand what is coming up. Buckle up. It was a Wednesday night, and I got home at around 5:30. As I was walking upstairs and almost to the third floor, which is where we lived, I saw him coming out of the apartment, but I don't say anything because we don't like him, so I just mostly ignored him. He then started yelling at me and telling me to look at the apartment. I look inside from the doorway and I saw nothing wrong, so I asked what he was talking about, and still in an angry voice he claimed that he had been robbed and that he had also just gotten home to this. But I saw all the furniture is there and whatnot, so I didn't really know what he was going on about. I then went inside and I noticed that my Wii U was gone, but the rest of my consoles were there. So at this point, I was already getting pretty suspicious of him. I tried to keep calm as much as I could and I called Max to see how far from home he was. We usually both got home around the same time. As I'm calling, Dan yelled at me again that he had called the cops and that they were on their way, and in these exact words he then said,
Do whatever you need to do, because the police are on their way.
When he told me that, I immediately knew he had been home for a while, because he must have had time to hide all of his weapons and drugs, and God knows what else he had. Within about 5 minutes, the cops were pulling in, and so was Max. One officer went upstairs with Dan and Max to write down everything that was missing, and the other officer stayed downstairs. I stay with him, just chatting. According to Max, we're missing a lot of our stuff in our room, but Dan is only missing his PS4. I did ask him at last if it was possible to search Dan's car, and I also said if he needed to search my or Max's car, we'd be okay with it. He said it wasn't necessary, but agreed to search Dan's car. Once they all came back downstairs, the officers asked Dan if they could search his car and that they also needed his ID. He said he was okay with them searching his car, but that he had to get his ID and keys from the apartment. Max and I followed him upstairs. We saw him get his wallet and keys and he left the apartment. We don't want to be nosy and stay downstairs while they search his car, so we decided to stay in the apartment. A few minutes go by and he's still not downstairs with the cops. So we started looking around the neighborhood, but he had already vanished. How convenient, but since he had agreed that they could search his car and in no moment said that they couldn't, they went ahead and started looking if the car was unlocked, and it was. We found all of our stuff in his car. In the car was our 3DS, our PS4 controller, Max's laptop, some Wii U games, and a lot more. The very next morning, I decided to put all of his stuff out by the dumpster and then had a locksmith change our locks. I thought of putting a restraining order on him, but we ended up never going through with it. A few weeks later, we saw his car parked outside a few yards from our building, but we pretended like we didn't see him and we just watched him from our room, with 911 ready to be dialed. Eventually, he just left and he didn't cause any more problems. But still, Dan, I really hope we don't encounter you ever again. So, about 3 years ago, I was going to a school in a US city, and I was living with two other roommates. One of my roommates was pretty well known to usually bring CD characters back to the apartment. At one point during our fall semester, she befriended a guy in her advertising class who went by the name of Dallas. He became her weed dealer, and she would frequently bring him over to the apartment. I suspected they were sleeping together, but she always denied it. It was a strange relationship, but who am I to judge? My other roommate and I thought he was charismatic enough, but we also didn't see the appeal that Christy saw. I remember one night when we had Dallas over for dinner. He told us how he played for our college's football team and that he started his own business at the age of 25. He was a very well-known weed dealer who made a crap ton of money, and his name was Dallas because he used to live in Dallas, Texas, and apparently that's what his parents named him after. Me and my other roommate nodded our heads and listened, but we didn't think much of it except for this dude thought he was hot stuff and wanted to gloat about himself. Mind you, he was like 5'4" and probably not over 150 pounds. I believe he came over for dinner maybe about two more times after that. My roommate claimed that one time she decided to buy weed from him and went to his apartment off campus. When she arrived, she saw our roommate Christy just pass the crap out on a chair in the middle of the day in Dallas's apartment in some random room. When my roommate arrived, he mentioned nothing of her being there. My roommate shook her awake and Christy just woke up in a haze and basically told my roommate to screw off. My roommate recounted the story to me, and we both agreed it was pretty freaking weird, and Dallas was probably not the safest person to hang with. After a couple of months, Christy stopped hanging out with him. I remember her saying he got pissed because she didn't want to sleep with him. I also found out that a friend of hers who knew him for a long time was engaged to him. Oh, and also, his real name wasn't Dallas. I mean, real shocker there. Fast forward 2 years. Neither me or my roommate talked to Christy anymore. We're living elsewhere in said city doing our own thing. We get an alert on our phones that a girl who had just transferred to our college went missing after leaving one of the campus bars the previous night. It doesn't take very long, maybe a few days, when this huge story breaks. Apparently, this girl was killed by someone she left the bar with that night. So I get a call from my roommate, and the call goes something like this. Dude, do you remember what Dallas's real name was? Yeah, I believe it was something like Michael or something. She replies back with, go online and read this article. He freaking killed that girl who just went missing. Sure enough, I go online, and there is the most creepiest mugshot of Dallas, next to a photo of the girl he had just slain. Well, it gets crazier. Apparently, he had taken her home that night. I'm assuming it was a one-night stand sort of thing. So, I guess at one point things turned bad and he killed her by blunt force and strangulation. And if that isn't terrible enough for you, he cleaned up the evidence in his apartment, threw her body in a storage container, and took a freaking lift to his grandma's house hours away. And then he buried the storage container with her remains in it on the property somewhere. After obtaining a video of the two of them leaving the bar together, it didn't take the cops very long to find him. Weeks after that story broke, so many different girls came forward and shared similar creepy stories about Dallas. The guy who played college football and ran a successful business. You can guess that none of this was ever true. Also, he was like 28 years old, claiming he was still a student at our college when this all happened, when in reality, he was probably just there prying on younger women. It's truly a horrible story what happened to that young girl. Without going into too much detail, my first year in college, I stayed in a suite-style room. Two of us in one room and two in the other, and we shared a bathroom outside of our doors. Long story short, by the end of the year, the suite mates and I became great friends, and we alienated my roommate of the group. She ended up being a really hateful person. We decided that our second year, we would try to get rooms together. We ended up only getting two of us in the same room, and the third person had a single. My roommate Cora was my roommate before. Now, Cora smoked a lot of weed. She couldn't go to any class without getting absolutely stoned. Now, I didn't have a problem with this, but I didn't smoke. Now, my roommate Sarah also smoked, but very little. Again, the first few weeks of our second year were great, and we had a lot of fun, and we all got along really well. That is, until Cora flipped a switch and changed completely. The first red light was when I asked her if she could cover herself when she got out of the shower. She would shower and stay completely naked and walk around the room, and I explained to her how it made me uncomfortable. She was fine with it. I didn't care if she wore a towel, but just not butt naked in the middle of the day in our tiny room. Next came the weird instances. Sarah came over quite often and slept on the floor between us, and we had a lot of laughs throughout the night. But there was one night when Sarah was awoken by someone reaching over to her very close, too close, and they were brushing her chest. She just froze and pretended she was asleep. She opened her eyes a little while later, and Cora was staring at her in the complete darkness. No phone, just staring wide awake. From here on, things just went crazy. She would scream at the top of her lungs in the shower and after because she couldn't walk around naked. She began to pluck every single pubic hair while laying in bed under her blankets, making herself bleed. She also started punching things repeatedly, and overall, she made the environment extremely hostile. After a few weeks of this, I decided to spend most of my time in the study room down the hall that was only big enough for one person. Cora and Sarah were in the room, and I see Sarah run frantically down to the study room door and ask if she can come in. I waved her in, and she was in a state of complete panic. While I was in the study room, Cora had a complete breakdown. She threatened to hurt me and how she was waiting until I got back so she could strangle me. She was throwing things around the room and speaking horrible things about me and my family. Things that were so bad that Sarah wouldn't repeat them to me. She got to the point saying that she would hurt me in my sleep and strangle me while I'm studying. It was so bad that Sarah was frozen in fear. As soon as Cora left the room and decided to go eat, that's when Sarah ran to me and told me everything. Apparently, it got to the point that she actually had a pocket knife in her hand and was pacing back and forth waiting for my return. I ended up having to switch rooms, go to a safe room, and completely change my situation because she wanted to hurt me. Sarah and I are still great friends after we both transferred at the end of that year. She decided to see her about a month after I left the room, and Cora had carved the word happy into her arm and scarred herself on her upper shoulder. She repeatedly badmouthed the situation like we planned on ruining her life, when in reality it was all her. She's the one who went crazy. I really don't know what happened to her. There's a few more details that I left out, but overall this person became a complete nightmare almost overnight. Be sure to really get to know the person before you become roommates with them. You never really know who they'll turn out to be. Be careful. The story happened to me years ago, but it still affects me to this day. The summer after I graduated high school, I was still living at home with my family. I was up one late night and was packing for a camping trip with my friends. It was unbelievably hot, and I had the window open as I sat and folded my clothes. It was around 2 in the morning, and the next thing I knew, there was a hand coming through the gap in the screen of my window. I screamed and the hand flew back out. I was stunned, but there was a part of me that wondered if it was my younger brother pranking me. I got up and looked out the window and just saw a figure of a man. He was staring at me. I ran into my brother's room, and he was there playing video games. We called the police, who came and searched the area. They didn't find anything, and they warned me and my parents to lock all of the windows and doors, and then they left. We were all still shaken up, and my mom had a feeling that he would come back. It turns out her mother's intuition was right. She went outside and waited on our back porch. After about 20 minutes or so, she saw the man dressed in black slink into our backyard along the tree line. He hid behind a tree for a few seconds and ran to another tree and hid there, slowly working his way toward my window. My mother yelled something to him and he took off running. The police came back out again, but they found no trace of him. I never opened that window ever again, not even the curtains. My parents had installed some motion detecting lights, and that seemed to be the end of that. About 6 months later, my friend and I got an apartment downtown together. We were really excited as this was our first place all on our own. The apartment wasn't exactly the best quality, but it was so fun to be living in the city, and again, all on our own. The downside was that it was street parking only. After a few weeks, my car was broken into. Nothing was taken, but a single rose sat on the passenger seat. It was pretty creepy, but I vowed to be vigilant and safe. I always tried to park close to the entrance near the lights. But often it was difficult to get those spots, and I would often have to park further away on darker streets. Things quickly began escalating at this point. My car was broken into at least once a week. Most of the time a flower was left, which I always threw on the ground, but once there was a pair of men's underwear left. And even more creepily, once a bag of Tootsie Rolls, as they were my favorite candy. This made me wonder if the person doing this knew me personally, and I started to become really suspicious and paranoid of everyone. There was a laundry area in the basement of the apartment, and one day I went down to get a load that finished drying. As I started to fold them, I realized all of my undergarments, bras, and panties were gone. I mean, they were completely just gone. Another week, I had a male friend over from school, and his tire got slashed during the visit. By the time the first letter arrived, I had already started making plans to move elsewhere. The letter described a love for me that had been going on for years. He began to note things that proved he had been watching me very closely. I was able to arrange for another friend to take over my lease, and I moved in with another friend on the other side of the city. It was a secured building and had an underground parking garage that was only accessible to tenants. I felt much more secure, and the extra money spent was well worth the peace of mind. Things were quiet for a few months, and then my roommate got a boyfriend. Most of us were wary of Ashley's new boyfriend from the beginning. For one, they met on MySpace after he reached out to her. Another reason was that the new boyfriend, Matt, was extremely good looking. And while Ashley was a wonderful person, she just wasn't the type you would typically expect to date someone like him. Ashley was thrilled. She had never had a boyfriend and had really felt like he was her Prince Charming. I thought he was weird and creepy from the beginning. Matt was on the quiet side, and he always seemed to be sporting an uncomfortable, leering smile. It was difficult to carry on any sort of conversation with him because he would always make it weird with some kind of random fact that was completely unrelated to what we were talking about. I had deleted my MySpace when the initial stalking began, but I created a dummy account to learn more about Matt. It didn't look like he really knew any of his friends in real life. There were only pictures of himself, and the rest of the information was vague. My friends and I gently tried to discourage her from dating Matt. He technically hadn't done anything wrong, but he was just strange. She would immediately get defensive and would shut the conversation down immediately. Matt started to spend more time at the apartment, and I found myself finding any excuse I could to avoid coming home. One day I came home from work and I found Matt on my couch alone drinking a beer. Ashley had been called into work and she told him he could just hang out until she got home. I was furious because I didn't want to spend any time with him, so I grabbed a beer and a snack and headed off to my room and shut the door. After about 30 minutes or so, he knocked on my door and suggested we watch some TV and get to know each other better because we both loved Ashley. I didn't want to, but decided that maybe I needed to give it a try. Give him the benefit of the doubt, if you will. He put on a movie and I tried to just focus on the movie because I didn't want to talk. At one point I glanced over to Matt and he was just staring at me with a smile on his face. I snapped a, "What? What are you looking at?" at him. And he just continued smiling and said,
"I don't know, I just can't believe it."
"You can't believe what?" I asked. He then said nothing and went back to watching the movie, still smiling. I had no idea what he was talking about, but the interaction had every hair standing up on my body. I then excused myself and then locked the door to my room. Another month or so went on, and I had managed to avoid being home for anything other than sleep and showering. Matt practically lived there now, and he had even brought a bunch of his things into Ashley's room. I really didn't want to move again, but I was beginning to look for other options. On their 6-month anniversary, I saw a huge bouquet of flowers on the table, and an already open card propped right next to it. I rolled my eyes and was about to leave when I decided to see what the weirdo wrote to her. When I opened the card, my heart started beating through my chest. Without even reading the words he wrote, I was shaking. The handwriting was exactly the same as the one my stalker had sent. I had kept them as evidence and dug them out of my desk for comparison. The handwriting was unique and identical. Matt was indeed the stalker. I called the police first. As they were on the way, I called Ashley and I asked her to come over immediately. She said she was at work but said she would be there when she could. I was really freaked out to tell her because I knew she would be shattered. The police took a statement from me and actually went to Ashley's work to get more information from her, and they ended up breaking the news. Apparently, Ashley called Matt and left a furious message, even though the cops told her not to say anything, and he completely disappeared after that. There was no Matt or anyone matching his resemblance at the place he said he worked. Ashley had never been to his apartment because he said he had been staying with friends while trying to save money for a trip to Europe. His family lived out of state and she had never even met any of his friends. He said they had a falling out because he was choosing to spend so much time with Ashley. In the end, it was all lies. She was dating a stranger. We honestly don't even know if Matt was his real name. The cherry on top of this whole thing was when we went through Matt's things. He had left all of his things when he disappeared, and Ashley and I decided to go through all of his stuff. There was a duffel bag that was full of gym clothes, but in one of the compartments there was about 10 pictures of me. All of them were taken far away with the exception of one of me sleeping. The sheets were current, so I know it had to have been at the current apartment before I started locking my bedroom door. A few of the pictures dated back to before the incident at my parents' house, which made us link think that that was him as well. 2 pairs of my missing underwear were there, and I shuddered to think of what he did with the rest. A Starbucks lid with my red lipstick marks, a necklace I hadn't even noticed missing, a few other random 6 souvenirs. It was so creepy. Unfortunately, the police were never able to track him down. I decided to accept an opportunity overseas that I'd been considering, and I got the heck out of there as soon as I could. Unfortunately, Ashley and I quickly drifted apart. She had a really hard time accepting that her first love was a complete psycho. I think I had some underlying anger for believing all of his lies and letting him into our lives. I didn't know what his endgame was. Would he have tried to hurt me, or was he just simply content with being involved in my world? I guess I'll never know. Being stalked changes you. Even when I lived across the world, I looked over my shoulder everywhere I went. To this day, I still have no social media accounts attached to my real name. If I had to guess, he's probably messing with some new woman now. But every time I visit my hometown, I am tense to keep a low profile. Part of me will always worry that Matt will resurface again, but I really hope that never happens. If you have your own personal scary story, be sure to submit that to my subreddit at reddit.com/r/southerncannibal or to my email at southerncannibal@gmail.com. I'm always looking for new stories.
Happy ending. I got a happy ending today.
Woo!
Yowie!
Zoinks!
Help keep this show free by buying some of our swag of apparel at butcherspit.com. We have t-shirts, hoodies, and even baby onesies. That's butcherspit.com.
Be sure to check out Murky Chronicles, drops every Friday, hosted by yours truly, Theyfella, the Butcher Dobashi, and Kenny Roberts. With guests, stories, news on unexplained and bizarre happenings, you can listen on your favorite podcast platforms or just go to lyricalspit.com for the latest shows and links.